This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands,
but it's not.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Oh, by the way, as we start ENN, let me close out Diamond Notes, which was brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget, any of their 6 area locations. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Don.
You're kind of playing a little bit too much with it.
Okay. Good evening to myself. From a glass half full standpoint.
I want to use that. I think there's something to glass ass full.
No, glass ass.
Yeah, but I like glass ass.
Okay,
there we go.
There you go.
While talking about drops
right.
are born.
Let's go to good evening to Don again.
Where is the Mona Lisa right now? In the Louvre, right?
Good evening to myself. Okay.
That's not nice.
No, come
there's
on. More.
I've never been to a bathhouse, never mind a Russian bathhouse.
Okay.
Come on.
Good evening.
You specifically asked for Peter.
Have you ever been to a Russian bathhouse?
I've never been to a bathhouse, never mind a Russian bathhouse. Have you been to a bathhouse, Peter?
No, and this weekend I'm going for the first time. Good evening to Don one more time.
Lift the skirt and show everything.
And lastly, good evening to myself. All right, guys, kickoff week. Let me hear that again. All right, guys, kickoff week. Oh, come on, kickoff. That's weak.
You know what? Listen, if I didn't know any better, I would think Anthony's got a problem with you.
It feels that way, right?
Yeah, definitely feels that. I'm definitely getting a negative vibe between you two, and I don't like it, and I want it to stop now. But I like glass ass.
And Anthony, I'll tell you what, I need another picture of the audio because you can't give me this wide shot of the whole screen. I can't see it. I can't see the white.
Yeah,
clips.
Maybe it's time for me to go.
And I will suggest this for this ENN. If there's anything that says Adrian Wojnarowski, 4 minutes and 27 seconds,
you want
me
to pass on that. All right, fair enough.
I just don't let things go. I apologize, but that put me in a way yesterday.
Let's talk a little bit of foosball. All right? Just a little bit of foosball.
When you say foosball, you mean footy ball.
That's right, footy ball. Wide receiver Sterling Shepard of your New York Football Giants returned to practice.
The longest tenured Giant.
The vet.
That's right.
He's like 25 years old.
Yeah.
He came back today, and this is the first look we've gotten at Sterling Shepard during this preseason. And Dable was asked about plans for Sterling Shepard.
We'll kind of ramp him up. We'll ramp him up, and just like we did when the other guys come back. But he's done a good job in his rehab, and be good to have him out there.
What I took from camp and then also talking to Aaron Boone that same day, Sterling Shepard in football is Shep. In baseball, he'd be Sheppy.
That's correct. Because it wouldn't be Sterling. He'd be Sheppy.
Yeah.
Now, let's hear from Sheppy. On returning from the injury.
I feel great, man. Just being back on the field, I mean, it's a blessing, especially when you go through an injury like that and you've been on the sidelines for so long watching those guys get after it. You got to take every day and cherish them because you never know when you can have to sit out that long. I was just blessed to be out there and happy to be out there with my guys.
Sheppy was asked, did you think you'd be back this soon?
Yeah, I mean, that's always been kind of the timeline. And, I had to work my tail off. They told me that if that was going to be the case, then I'd have to, put in overtime and, do a lot to get back and just dedicate it to the process. And, it was a long road, man, but it felt great to be back out there, like I said.
Ah, the process.
You love the process?
No, not at all.
You hate the word the process.
Oh, just it's a bit much, isn't it? The Sixers have really sabotaged and
you think it's got you think at this point thing. You think it's very gobbledygookerish at this point.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing.
Oh my God. I forgot about that moment.
You can hear the genuine hate.
Don't scream at me on the show.
Don't defend him.
The Don't scream at me on the show.
Can you believe how fired up you got him? What was that about again, the Eagles?
Yeah, that was the way the Eagle-Giant game ended, remember?
No, it was the Eagle-Washington game?
Right, that's right, the Eagle, right, but it affected the Giants.
Correct.
Take the L!
That's, he could say whatever he wants. Our relationship is completely one-sided.
You think Andrew hates your guts?
It's all on this side of the table.
No, because I've had it.
I don't think he has any use for me.
I will fight you after this show.
But the more he hates me, the more I love him.
God hates me.
He's enjoying some time off. Should we have an Andrew countdown? He'll be back on Monday. Can Yes put up a nice font with a picture of Andrew?
I'd like that. Andrew's back Monday. It's only two shows away. Derek Jeter.
Can somebody get Andrew Marsh and Andrew's phone number? Because if Peter and I get disrespected, I mean, Anthony and Andrew, what shot do they have? I'd sit there and I'd go buy the paper. I'd jump in my time machine, go back to 1976, go to the newsstand, buy the newspaper, sit down, and read myself an article about Andrew's return. I'd do that.
Oh, guys, this is big. We are under 309 hours from the return of Michael Kidd. Just under 309 hours.
Did you do the math on that?
Yeah, I've been adding it up. You know how I do. I take this craft very seriously. All right, let's keep going with the Ian of it all, shall we?
Please.
We heard from Sheppy. Let's
talk. No, it's Shep because he's a football player.
Oh, Shep, right? If he was a Yankee,
he'd be Sheppy.
Current Yankee. Oh, it was a Brave. A current Brave.
Former Raven
replied.
A current Raven.
Oh, like the game doesn't need him.
Sorry, he's a Charger now.
He's a Charger.
Oh no, he's a Ram.
Here's
it's,
Ian.
You know
Begley.
What? It's Ian the Michael Begley. Jordan of drops.
Here's Ian Begley on SNY. Talking about the Knicks and the potential of including Barrett in a Mitchell deal.
Big name here for me to watch is RJ Barrett because Utah certainly seeks RJ Barrett in a deal. There are a number of different permutations that I think are being discussed, have been discussed, but certainly Utah would like to get RJ Barrett back in a deal. Are the Knicks willing to give up RJ Barrett? I reported back in, I think it was mid-July, that people in touch with the Knicks recently had come away with the impression, again, back in mid-July, that the Knicks were dead set against including Barrett in any trade. Is that still the case? I'm not so sure. I don't think that it's a uniform opinion throughout the building with New York that they can't include Barrett in a deal. Something to keep an eye on there.
I'll tell you. He works the Kavorka, doesn't he? Danny Ainge, when he gets these deals, he mesmerizes you, he hypnotizes you. Well, you're going to give me Barrett. You're going to give me Barrett. I'm going to wait it out until you give me Barrett.
Now, let me ask you, Don. Let me ask you. Are you willing to part with Barrett?
No, absolutely not. Changes everything. How about Barrett and one first round pick, and then that's it. That's all you get.
Here's the question. Anthony. No, Anthony's not a good person to ask.
What are you saying?
Well, Anthony doesn't care that much about basketball, does he? Andrew, how much do you care?
The guy is loaded with opinions.
Andrew's not back until Monday. The font said it, Peter.
Sorry. You're right. Sorry.
Why is everything... I want you guys to sit... I don't know what you got planned tonight. There's no Yankees for Anthony. I need you guys to work this out.
You think we need to get on the same page?
Oh, because he's putting drops disrespecting you. You just disrespect him.
All right, guys, kick off.
You're a hockey guy. What would you know about basketball? Meanwhile, the guy's popping with opinions. He's a future host.
Wow.
You hear that?
What were you going to ask, Peter? I'll try and channel my inner Andrew at least.
I was going to ask, how much better is Donovan Mitchell right now than what a realistic ceiling for RJ Barrett is?
I think some people do believe Donovan Mitchell overall will be better than RJ Barrett when it's all said and done. The problem is we always had this question with the Barrett situation where we didn't know how good the team would be if they had to give up Barrett to get Mitchell. So now you're in that situation. You don't know what else has to be given up to do it, whether it be more of their young prospects like Quentin Grimes or Emmanuel Quickley. How many draft picks are they going to have to give up if they include Barrett? You're going to need to you're replacing Barrett with Mitchell. If Randall or Fournier or somebody else is off the table, how much better are you? And I don't know if they're that much better.
Yeah, I want Barrett and Randall and Mitchell. I want all these guys to be on the court at the same time. No? If I got to give up Barrett, then how much better am I really?
If I'm the Knicks,
slightly better. I'm better, no question. But am I that much better?
If I'm the Knicks, by the way, I give up as many picks as possible to avoid. Like, how many picks? You have to ask Danny Ainge. How many picks do I have to give up so that I don't have to give you R.J. Barrett?
Well, I think that's the stumbling
point. Right.
That's how he's playing you. You know, he's asking for like six first round picks and two of them unprotected. And you're like, I don't know. All right, well, then listen. Just give me none unprotected, four first round picks, and give me Barrett. Because I really think Ainge wants Barrett.
That's a lot.
I think so, don't you, Peter?
Probably. And based on what the Gobert haul was, I just don't think, okay, Mitchell is better than Barrett. Is he better enough than Barrett that it's worthwhile to lose Barrett and, to Anthony's point, whatever other pieces are required? I don't know that he's that much better. And what I love about Barrett in particular, two things. One, let's be real, guys, the homegrown thing matters. It really does matter in New York and to Knicks.
Sure does.
Also, every year his numbers have gone up. 14, 17, 20. We've seen improvements at the line. We've seen improvement from three. He needs to take more steps. But he has gotten better every year. Between that and being homegrown and not knowing what else would have to go to get Mitchell. I mean, listen, here's my question. The Jazz have had Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert the last few years. What are they doing? They're blowing it up.
A great regular season. They give you nothing in the postseason.
It wasn't enough. So I'm not saying Mitchell's not a great player, but is he great enough? I'm sure there are some people who say he is. I'm not sure.
Is Evan Fournier on this team? Who's in this deal, by the way?
So Fournier's only in the deal because of the money, right?
Most likely, yeah, that would probably be why. So it's either Fournier or Randall that have to go, right? And then you have R.J. Barrett, maybe. Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell... Mitchell Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Robinson Cano.
Robinson Cano. Benny Agbayani. Is Obi Toppin in the deal? Is Quentin Grimes in the deal? Is Emmanuel Quickley in the deal?
Well, some of those guys may be, but you know, but if I'm throwing Barrett in, then you can make the case none of them should be in.
Then you don't have much left in terms of starting five.
I mean, by the way, with all due respect to those guys, I don't know. It's great to keep them, but without Barrett, it's tough.
You can't always judge it on, yeah, Mitchell's better than Barrett. But how much better to the point where I can live with giving up Barrett? It's not about collecting great players. It's about putting together a team that can go out there and win. And to Peter's point, he played with Rudy Gobert. What did they do? You know, consistent four seed that doesn't get out of the first round. And they're blowing it up now. So I want to see how all these pieces work.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk a little baseball for a moment. Diamond Notes brought to you by Nissan.
Hmm.
Aaron Boone, do you get excited when Aaron Judge hits a home run?
I would say it gets a little energetic when he home, but I think that's the case for everyone. It's been a great environment these last two nights. You know, it's you know, it feels big. It's loud. You know, we've seen the noise actually, you know, played a factor tonight on us. You know, Izzy's yelling at Glaber there, so he doesn't see the fall down last night on the communication in right field. So it's a good environment to play in. And yeah, I mean, anytime and he cleaned that one out nice tonight. I mean, that was so yeah, it was a good way to get us going.
That wasn't a legitimate question asked to Boone, was it?
I wonder if that was the actual word.
Yay!
I mean, that might have been what we thought was asked, but who asked the question, do you get excited when Aaron Judge hits a home run?
I'm curious to know if those were the actual words that came out. Hey, do you get excited? Now, maybe the question was a little more specific. Is there an unusual, you know, high level of excitement these days.
What does it do to that? What does that do to that clubhouse, to that dugout when he hits a home run? Something like that. It can't be, do you get excited when he hits a home run? Team couldn't rub two runs together for the last month. Of course they get excited when he hits a home run.
Tough question here. Tim brings up on Twitter.
Interesting.
The Weddle drop that we just played.
Sure.
You put that head-to-head versus Sidney Poitier. Is that the greatest matchup imaginable? Let's hear the Sidney Poitier, please, Anthony.
Don, did you tweet a rest in peace to Sidney Poitier?
Yeah, 92. He passed away.
That's his birthday today.
No, didn't. Oh, turns 92. Dear God. No.
You know the best part of that drop?
No, didn't. Oh, turns 92. Dear God.
No, the genuine shock and awe.
It's at first. It's when you first respond to me, the confidence with which you go, "Yeah, he passed away." Listen close, Don. I ask, and he goes, "Yeah, he passed away." Listen how sure he is.
Don, did you tweet a rest in peace to Sidney Poitier?
Yeah, 92. He passed away.
That's his birthday today.
No, didn't. Turns 92. Dear God,
it was a genuine mistake that created maybe the LeBron James of drops, but it's not Jordan.
But Weddle's Jordan.
That's the Mario to Gretzky.
Well, you know me. I'm a Mario guy.
I know you're a Mario, but you don't think Mario's better than Gretzky.
I don't. I've tried to fight that for a long time, but I don't.
Really? How did you fight it? Was it because of
I leaned on the injuries and basically said that Mario was as skilled as Gretzky, but his body betrayed him.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, now that I'm older and wiser, and I look at those obscene numbers, literally maybe the most shocking numbers this side of Wilt Chamberlain in all of sports, it's hard for me to...
It's one of the great like shock and awe stats of all time. Wayne Gretzky has 894 goals, the most in the history of the sport. If you took all of his goals away, he's still the all-time leading point scorer in the history of the NHL.
It's almost disturbing.
Just with assists. That would be like saying Pete Rose, if you only had singles, Pete Rose would be the all-time hits leader. If you took away every triple, double, and home run, he would still be that's the comparison.
Listen.
Unbelievable.
Listen. 1981-82 in Edmonton. He played 80 games. He had 92 goals and 120 assists. I mean, guy, I can't. So yeah. once I really, truly, because I didn't get to watch early 80s Gretzky. I watched late 80s Gretzky. So I didn't get a fair look. Mario's best season, by comparison, he did get close. 88-89, Mario was a psychopath. He, in 76 games, Don, Mario had 85 goals and 114 assists.
Right.
But the thing is, you know, he had a few seasons like that. Gretzky just did it routinely. Not that high, but obscene. From 1979-80 through 1986-87, Gretzky led the league in assists and points every year. He led the league in goals, assists, and points in four straight years. And then he was the point total leader again, 89-90, 90-91, 93-94, all the way up until 96-97, he was still the assist leader in the league, Don. So it's just, yeah. He's
so
obscene.
The overall point is that that's the Weddle drop, is Gretzky.
So as good as
Sidney Poitier is LeBron, it's Mario. What the Weddle is it's number one and it's not close. Fair?
I think you're right. Buck Showalter was asked. Well, you'll hear the question. Here you go.
How disappointing was it in that sort of playoff atmosphere out there? I mean, it was a great crowd both nights, not to get a win in either of the games.
Yeah, it was almost as good as ours. We had City Field. Our City Field crowd was, you know, special too. So it's great for the fans. And, you know, it's good to experience for our players to understand that they can, you know, we hope that we do the things it takes to get a chance to hopefully come back to this place sometime if we're both there.
Buck really, what's the phrase I'm looking for?
A great
because,
guy.
Like he's clubbing you with a pillow. Like he said a lot of interesting things there without really offending anybody. You know, the Mets crowd better about wanting to play them in the World Series. But not blunt enough where it becomes like a story. But he got his point across.
Don, how do you feel about the fact that from 2022 until 2025, the Arizona Coyotes will be playing at a 5,000-seat arena at Arizona State University, and the arena is called Mullet Arena?
I saw that.
And it's named after philanthropists and ASU donors, Donald and Barbara Mullet.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, really, it's the only sport that could do it.
It's just fortunate they went and named it after them and not the other donors who were second highest, Steve and Janet DeNozzle. So you're going to have to get Mullet
right.
Arena.
Molly and Steve neck blanket. But seriously, I had a look because Ray Santiago is our producer for Rangers and Nick games here at 98.7 and MSG. Does a tremendous job, works his tail off. And it looks like, because that's a Sunday during the NFL, the Rangers are going to be in Arizona. So we're traveling this year, and I'm going to probably be on that call because it's a Sunday, so Kenny's going to be doing football. And it's a legitimate question. Is there a place to broadcast the game? It's a 5,000-seat college arena. I would think there might be something, but like Dave and I might be calling it from like the penalty box. I don't know. Like, is there going to be a place for like Sam and Joe, me and Dave, and then whatever the Arizona broadcasts television? Like, who knows where we're going to be doing that from? I'd be doing it from like a broom closet.
Linebacker Shaquem Griffin retires at 27 years old. Man, time flies.
I saw this.
Fifth-round pick of the Seahawks in 2018. I didn't realize it was that long ago. First player with one hand ever to be drafted in the modern era. He wrote for the Players Tribune, said he's looking forward to helping others through his involvement in the NFL Legends community.
A great
Donald,
story.
Also, it was, yeah, tremendously inspiring. Also, Don, the great Len Dawson passed away at 87 years old.
Thank you for remembering that. Now, obviously, he was a little bit before my time to watch him play, but, oh, God, inside the NFL. Amazing. I know Showtime tries. You can't duplicate Nick Bonacani and Len Dawson.
Was he inside the NFL?
Len Dawson and Nick Bonacani. Yeah,
wow.
That was it.
I've never even seen that version of Inside the NFL.
Oh, my God, it's the version. It's the version. I mean, I would think the people that are on Showtime now that do it would tell you, you know, well, listen, we're doing the best we can, but we can't be Len Dawson and Nick Bonacani. That was epic. You had to watch that. It was must viewing in the mid-80s for me. Like, you know, your week wasn't complete till you watched, and you had to get their predictions. I remember my dad, like, I come home from like work or school, and he'd be like, you know, Nick and Len are picking the Giants this week. Like, it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
And now they're both gone. Mm. Oh, Peter, seriously. I don't know if
I'm going to go back and look at some original insight.
And now, maybe to you it'll look a little hokey, and you'll be like, what's the – but for a young Don LaGreca, football-obsessed, you didn't really have a lot of avenues to get information. You know, to have that show come on and to see your favorite team's highlights, and would they be talked about? Like, because sometimes they'll go through the highlights, and if it's a nothing game, it wouldn't be commented on. But
I know that's the worst. I'd love or they give you the 2 minute. In Washington, the Redskins had a tough time with the Jets,
right?
But in the end, Ken O'Brien was intercepted by Wilbur Marshall, and the Redskins rolled. And you're like, that's all I got? I was waiting the whole damn show.
Yeah, but he was such a nice guy. I never had a chance to meet him, but just from everything that I heard, and he was a heck of a quarterback. What gets lost in the whole Jets Super Bowl III and the merger, and we've talked about it many times before how overrated that was. The merger was already done. But for the Jets to beat the Colts was epic because it was the AFL beating the NFL. People could look at it as just a fluke. All right, one game, hey, maybe you just caught the Colts on a bad day. But for the Chiefs the very next year to beat the Vikings and to do it again, very underrated that Len Dawson and the Chiefs were able to go out there and win that second AFL Super Bowl IV to solidify that the American Football Conference or league at that time, that it was legit. That was big.
Well, we rolled into football from baseball, but I'll close out Diamond Notes, which is brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. I got a little bit of Liv and Tiger Woods news, but I'll give it to you on the other side. That will do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.